This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Let's talk tech with Sean Preece of Double Tap Canada. You can find Double Tap Canada Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time right here on AMI Audio. And Sean joins us this morning for us, this afternoon for him in Manchester, England. Hello, Sean.
Hello, Dave. I'm having some audio problems. Can you hear me okay?
I got you. You're a little fuzzy, but that's all right. We can be a little fuzzy this time. That's all right, Sean. Don't worry about it. Your face is still lovely, so that's the important thing.
Sean, thank you, Dave.
HR on line one. I just harassed Sean. Let's start off with the obvious here. We were talking about some accessibility upgrades and updates at Instagram. What exactly have they upgraded and updated?
Well, some interesting features in the new update to Instagram, and a lot of people are saying these are accessibility features. I'm not quite so sure. They are kind of. So what they are giving you is the option, if anyone has used TikTok before, they know that recently they've gone crazy over text-to-speech. Now, you know, as screen reader users, no big deal. But what Instagram are giving you is the option to have a screen reader, a text-to-speech engine, read aloud any captions you add to your videos on Instagram. So, you know, you can have something like giving the context, a little text on the screen, giving context to the video. But now you can have a text-to-speech voice read that out. And they can simply add that when they're previewing the video, when they're uploading the video to Instagram. And as I said, this is something that TikTok added a while back and everyone went crazy for it. But this is not something that is on by default. This is not something that is like system-wide to Instagram that any video that has any text in the video will automatically be read. This is something that the user needs to add when they're uploading the video, a little bit like if you're adding alt text to an image. You know, it's not done automatically. The user, the uploader, has to do it. So, hey, look, any new accessibility feature makes things more accessible to us. Fantastic. But this isn't something that's baked in. This is something that is optional for video creators on Instagram.
Yeah, to me, it really doesn't solve some of the core accessibility issues at Instagram. I find it to be maybe the least accessible of a lot of the major social media platforms, to the point that I actually find it to be pretty much unusable. I haven't logged in since January because they don't let you mess with the fonts. Everything is so, so super visual. It's the actual like buttons don't make sense to me. I don't know about you, Sean, but I find Instagram to be the least accessible of the major media platforms.
I totally agree. Now, that's not to say it's unusable. I know people that do use it, and you know that the app itself, depending on Android or iOS or whatever, is accessible, but it can be clunky. But I think it's more of a case of, given that the sort of target, that the concept of Instagram being mainly video and pictures, as it was when it first started, is that something that draws us in as visually impaired people? For me, it doesn't. Now, of course, we have alt text for images, and with this new feature, we can get the context or any text that's in any videos. But still, it's an incredibly visual social media platform. And I'm sort of expecting hate mail as I'm saying this, but is that by itself a reason why, you know what, I'm not interested in Instagram? I'll be quite honest. I have tried it. It was something that didn't really pull me in because of the core of it is visual. So, I don't think this is enough. I think they've got a long way to go to call themselves, you know, a truly accessible social media. But maybe that's to do with the concept itself.
Yeah, there could be something underlying there. That you're right to identify that for sure. Is it a bit surprising, though, considering that Facebook, the parent company of Instagram, or I guess Meta now, as we should properly refer to them, Meta, was kind of like when they renamed the COVID vaccines. I'm like, no, no, I'm not going to go with these new names. I'm going to call them what people have been calling them for a long time, because I'm a rebel like that, Sean. I'm rogue.
You're old school.
I'm old school. You know me. Old school Dave Brown, wearing my suspenders and my pants up to my chest. Is it a bit surprising, though, because Facebook does at least have what I would call on the right side of the ledger of good when it comes to accessibility, that maybe they can't get Instagram to, like, the right side of the ledger of good on accessibility?
Well, I mean, perhaps the problem is me. On my view, what I just said there about, you know, are blind people actually interested in this mainly visual social media platform? Well, perhaps that's what they think. Well, no one who's visually impaired cares about Instagram. You know, there is that outlook out there, as I just said. So maybe that's the reason they think, well, perhaps accessibility isn't priority because visually impaired people aren't going to care about this. Mm. So, I mean, it's something that we say to lots of companies, you know, this is important to us. And of course, as visually impaired people, we should have access to this. But then I've just gone against that myself by saying, you know what, I really don't care about it. So I think that can be an issue. And I find it hard to be really harsh and brutal against some people that have that view when, as I just said, I sometimes have that view myself, and that's a problem.
Well, that's it. There's only so many advocacy battles to fight, and yes, sometimes it does become a chicken and the egg situation. If you don't fight for better accessibility to Instagram, then you're not going to get it. But then it's like, well, there's bigger fish to fry here, and let's maybe use let's fight for it on the platforms that we're using a little bit more. Hey, Sean, let's jump ahead to tonight for Double Tap Canada. I know last week Stephen was just bombarding you with reviews of all the things that he bought, but what are you guys talking about tonight?
Well, funny enough, Dave, things that Stevens bought.
Are we worried about this guy? Like, are we going to find out some story, like, until debt do us part in a couple of years, like, where Stephen's going to be featured on this show? Like, I'm worried. Like, do we need to meet him with a financial advisor or something?
I keep saying that. It's more probable we'll see him on a program like Hoarders, just surrounded by tech where he can't get out of the house. It's incredible. But as ever, Stephen always buys the premium product. He bought a MacBook Pro last week, and this week he's bought the premium Windows laptop. So we're going to be taking a look at what he's bought and why he's bought it.
How many laptops does this guy need?
I know, he's not even leaving the house. That's the joke of it all. Well, he doesn't even need a laptop. But hey, we all need toys to play with, and his is tech. Luckily enough, it gives us something to talk about.
That's true. You know what? We should say that thank goodness for Stephen buying these things, because content is content nonetheless. Hey, Sean, I know we're going to talk to you again before the holidays, but I'm curious. We were talking to your other co-host, Mark Aflalo, on Monday about some of sort of the holiday tech must-haves. Is there something that you've slipped onto your wish list for your wife to have a peek at, to put under the tree for you?
Ooh, good question. Well, I did see yesterday, and this isn't a thing over here, right? But a coffee machine. Now, coffee machines are not, I know it's all over in Canada and America, coffee, you know, it's the must-have thing. But I did see a smart coffee machine yesterday with Lady A built in, a smart speaker built in. And the thought of just lying in bed and saying, you know, make me an espresso or a cappuccino or whatever it's called, sounds good to me. To be honest, it'd be make me a cup of tea or make me a hot chocolate, but still, a smart coffee machine seems cool to me.
Yeah, you know us North Americans and our newfangled invention, coffee. You know, really on the cutting edge over here with the coffee beans. Sean, always a blast catching up, man. Have a great day, and hopefully that coffee maker makes its way under the tree for you.
Thanks a lot, Dave. Take care.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.